I grew up with 4 siblings. At isa sa mga kapatid, may isa akong kapatid na nung bata kami, yun yung madalas kong hindi makasundo. So, 4 silang magkapatid, may isa ron na lagi kong, or madalas na hindi ko makasundo. There was one time na meron natirang isang pack of chips o chichirya sa bahay, and both of us believed and argued na sa amin yon. Sa akin yon, share ko yon, at niniwala man yung kapatid kong ito, share din niya yon. So we argued, we heavily argued about it to a point that we've yelled to each other, to the point na kung saan we have hurt each other even physically. Of course, pagbalik ng aming magulang, nagsumbungan kami. Unahan kami nagsumbong sa aming mga magulang, trying to plea our case. Kinukonvince namin ang aming magulang na ako ang tama. Sabi naman ng kapatid ko, hindi, ako ang tama. And back and forth, nagsasabi kami. So, ang ginawa ng parents namin is this. Kinuha yung chips at pareho kaming pinalo. Yeah. But eventually, they gave us yung chips para sharing daw. Love lang, no fight. This is how disputes in our family were settled when we were kids. Pero, how about sa church family? Kapag meron tayong disagreement and disputes, how do we settle it? Do we heavily argue to each other? Yell at each other? And even to a point of hurting each other's feelings? How do we as a church practice unity despite differences in our convictions and consciences? This is what the Apostle Paul will address us this morning. Ngayong umaga ay nagwawakas na po ang ating maiksing 2-week topical sermon series on the conscience. Last week we have learned that the conscience is a gift from God that He hath placed within us that gives us a sense of right and wrong, and actively judge every action we have taken or considered taking. But also last week we have learned that it doesn't perfectly align with God's will. And to have and keep a clean and clear conscience, one must turn away from sin and trust in Christ. Understanding this conscience and treating it rightly ay di lamang essential sa Christian life. Essential din siya sa life ng church family. Dahil matututunan natin kung paano makarelate sa conscience ng iba, lalo na kung hindi kaparehas ng atin. Ito'y crucial sa unity and health ng local church. I know na nabanggit ko last week that this will be a 2-week topical sermon, but this week we will try to do an exposition of Romans 14 hanggang 15 verse hanggang verse 7. Now, ang Romans ay sinulat ni Apostle Paul sa Church ng Rome noong 55 to 57 AD. At isa sa mga dahilan sa pagsulat ng letter dahil mayroon siya nakikitang growing division among the Jewish Christians at mga Gentile Christians. At yung kanilang hindi pagkakasundo ay is over disputable matters. Ang goal ni Paul ay pag-isain sila under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kaya sa chapter 14, he applies the truths of the gospel sa kanilang sitwasyon dahil nanganganib ang unity ng church sa kanilang differences of convictions. Kaya sa Romans 14:1 hanggang 15 verse 7, Paul gives them a gospel lecture on how to pursue unity despite differing conscience. Now, ang layunin ng pag-aaral po na ito ay hindi upang i-address lahat ng mga theological or moral views at susubukin alamin kung sino ang tama. Okay? So hindi po yun ang aking hangarin. No. Ang prayer ko sa atin ngayong umaga, Crossroads, ay mas mapalalim ang ating pagmamahalan. Ang pagmamahalan natin sa isa't isa at mag-grow ang abilidad natin to building up and unify each other lalo na kapag nagkakaroon ng disagreements in disputable or debatable matters. Ang idea, main idea natin ngayong umaga is this. Welcome one another as Christ welcomes us, despite differing consciences, for this gives glory to God. Welcome one another as Christ welcomes us, despite differing consciences, for this gives glory to God. So how do we cultivate unity when consciences differ on disputable or debatable matters? We have 4 points ngayong umaga. Number one, welcome disagreement without quarreling, verses 1 to 4. Number two, let God be the judge, verses 5 to 12. Third, resolve not to lead others to sin, 13 to 23. And number four, welcome one another as Christ welcomes us, chapter 15, 1 to 7. Let's dive in to point number one. Welcome disagreements without quarreling. Verse 1 to 4. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. He will be held upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Ang mga Christians sa Church ng Rome ay magkakaiba po ng conviction, so paniniwala, pagdating po sa pagkain ng karne at pag-observe ng Jewish holy days. Ang mga Jewish Christians ay convinced na ang Old Testament food laws ay dapat pa ding i-observe o i-practice. Umiiwas sila sa pagkain ng karne dahil sa hindi lamang dahil sa mahirap makahanap ng kosher meat na tinatawag. Ang kosher meat po ay yung karne na that complies to the strict rules ng Jewish laws. At dahil na din abundant ang meat sa Gentile region na ito, is baka na-offer yung karne na yon sa idols. Kaya mabuti na lamang na hindi na lang sila kumain. Bagamat naniniwala sila na hindi na nakakaligtas ang pagkain nito, pag-practice nito, ni hindi man nila sinasabi na dapat i-observe din ng mga Gentile Christians, ang conscience sa mga Jewish Christians na to tells them na kailangan pa din nilang i-observe. Samantala, mga Gentile Christians naman, which is the majority ng members ng church sa Rome, ay convinced na pwede nang kumain at hindi na sila bound sa Old Testament ceremonial law. Pwede nang kumain. Si Christ ay namatay para sa atin. Paul calls the Jewish Christians weak or weak in faith. At ang mga Gentile Christians naman ay strong or strong in faith, at least sa particular area ng food laws at pag-observe ng holy day. Paano dinideal ni Paul ang different kinds of theological and moral issues sa church? Well, he treated them as per urgency. There was a time na sinamahan ko po si Dayan sa hospital para magpa-check up sa doktor niya. We came in an earlier time in hopes na kami ay ma-entertain ang doktor at matapos kaagad. Pero lumipas ang ilang minuto, nag-aantay pa rin kami. Lumipas ang ilang oras, wala pa din. So ginawa po namin ay pumunta na po kami sa nurse station, nagtanong kung nandyan na ba si Doc. At sabi, ay nandyan na po, kanina pa. Ah, bakit? It's because meron siyang surgery kasalukuyan oras na ito. At patapos na rin, makiantay na lang. Malaman namin na kung saan, I just realized, ang tawag pala dito pag umapunta tayo ng hospital para nag-check up, ay medical triage. Medical triage. Ano ibig sabihin nito? Ito ay ang proseso na kung saan pinaprioritize nila i-treat ang mga pasyente who needed urgent medical attention. So, if naranasan niyo yan this week, nagpa-check up kayo at kanina pa kayo at may mga bagong dumating at sila na una, baka mas urgent yon. Similarly, Paul also dealt with differences sa loob ng church through a triage. Ang tawag dito ay theological triage. Ang nakaisip ng term na ito si Dr. Albert Mohler na binanggit sa libro ni Andrew Nasselli at J.D. Crowder na ang pangalan ay conscience. Of course, sinabi rin ito ni Paul sa 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. And he said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Now, hindi sinasabi ni Paul dito na may mga certain verses or commands sa Bible na hindi mahalaga or not important at may mga important. Hindi po yun ang kanyang point. Lahat po yan ay important, lahat po yan ay mahalaga, pero not all points hold the same weight. There are three levels of theological triage. Ito ang tinatawag na first, second, and third level issues. Minsan tinatawag natin dito sa Crossroads, primary, secondary, and tertiary issues or doctrines. At meron din another way na tinatawag nila rito is gospel doctrine, which is yung number one, gospel purity, which is yung second, and third, disputable matters. Let's breeze through to some of them. No? Kasi napakamahalaga po na intindihan natin theological triage na to for us to know and evaluate kung bakit ba tayo nag-disagree sa bawat isa, saan level siya. Okay? First of all, first level issues, o yung tinatawag na gospel doctrine, o yung primary doctrine. Ito ay central at essential sa Christianity. Kapag dininay mo ang first level doctrines, hindi mo po pwedeng sabihin na Kristiyano ka. Dito talaga dapat mag-agree lahat ng mga Kristiyano sa doctrines na ito. Doctrines gaya ng Trinity, ang humanity and deity ni Christ, ang salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, salvation kay Kristo lamang, the authority of the Bible. Kapag tayo'y nalayo po dyan, kapag may disagreement po tayo dyan, then hindi po tayo pwede natin sabihin na Christian, fundamental po ito. Second, yung tinatawag na second level issues or gospel polity or secondary doctrines. Now, this is also important because it creates reasonable boundaries between Christians, such as different denominations at saka local churches. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit may pagkakaiba ang mga evangelical churches. Bakit magkakaiba ang view ng Baptists, magkakaiba ang view ng Presbyterians, magkakaiba ang view ng Charismatics. So, because of differing theological views. Mostly, ito yung mga paniniwala at practice pagdating sa church leadership, baptism, spiritual gifts. So, we now put them on second level issues. Third, yung tinatawag na third level issues or disputable matters. So, mga matters na debatable, which is basically almost everything. Okay? Mga issues na debatable, ang tawag din dito po ay matters of conscience. Matters of conscience. Now, hindi nangangahulugan na hindi ito mahalaga, yung third level na ito. Mahalaga din ito, din ang mga ito, pero pwede mag-disagree ang bawat members dito. So sa second level, sa unang level po, hindi tayo pwede hindi mag-agree. Kundi we question kung ikaw ay Christian. Second level, we can disagree, pero most probably, kung hindi ka nag-agree sa polity, then probably you would go to a church na kung saan that matches yung convictions mo sa church governance. Pero sa third, ito po ay tinatawag na basis on conscience. Nasa salita ng Diyos pa rin po, pero hindi clear-cut na black and white na binigay ng Bible. Gaya halimbawa ng Genesis chapter 6. Ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng sons of God? Ito ba ay mga angels? O ito ba yung mga anak ni Seth? Nandyan din, ano ang view mo sa Sabbath? Sabbatarian ka ba? End time, so yung tinatawag na eschatology, premillennial, amillennial, kung ano man ang view. Ano ba ang dapat version ng Bible ang gamitin? Dapat ba ay King James only or English Standard Version or New International Version? Ano ba? Dapat bang magsuot ng head covering ang mga babae sa service o hindi? Dapat ba na laging naka-formal ang attire pag umaatin ng church? O okay lang yung naka-shorts o naka-chinelas? hymnals ba na may gitara at piano or contemporary genre na may full band? Dapat bang mag-subscribe sa Netflix o hindi? Manood ng sine? Hindi. O hindi? Ito, medyo mainit itong tanong na to. Dapat pa magpa-vaccine? O hindi? Pwede ko nang balikan kasi hindi na mainit. Okay? Ang mga disagreements sa third level issues should not cause disunity sa church family. Okay? Sa Romans 14 at 15, ang kategory ng issues na ina-address o issues na ina-address ni Paul ay masasabi natin na sa third level issue or disputable matters. Kaya kita nyo, ibang-iba ang treatment niya or pakikipag-usap niya sa members versus sa Galatians, you foolish Galatians. Ito iba. Okay? Ang binubuo niyang argument dito ay pwede ang mga magkakapatid mag-disagree at manatili sa isang church. Here's the scenario. Kapag darating ang mga kapatiran sa hapagkainan, kasi laging may fellowship meal pag may service, nakikita ng mga Gentile Christians na kumakain ng gulay ng pinakbit ang mga Jewish Christians. Pag nakikita nila ito, they despise them, they mock them. They ridicule them. They look down on them. Mga legalistic na ito. Ang mga Jewish Christians naman, kapag nakikita nilang nilalantakan ng mga Christian Gentiles, yung karne, yung taba ng karne, at sinisipsip yung buto ng bone marrow, ang tingin nila is mga compromiser. Wala sa tama ang paglalakad nito sa Panginoon. And then they view themselves more morally right. So ito yung nangyayari po sa loob ng church na ito. Mga kaibigan, hindi lamang ito totoo sa Christians in Rome. Totoo din po yan sa Christians sa churches ngayon. Nangyayari din to sa church dito sa Crossroads. Tuwing tayo ay nag-i-interact, tuwing tayo ba'y nag-i-interact sa isang member na ang conscience ay either weaker or stronger than ours, aren't we tempted to either despise them or judge them? Ay, pastor, hindi naman. Hindi ako nagbibito na maaaring hindi sa ating pananalita o sa action, baka maaaring sa ating puso. Pagpapasok, simula ulo hanggang paa. Pag magkakain na sa meal fellowship, pagtingin, puro gulay. Iba naman, puro karne. Iba naman, hindi kumakain, tubig lang. Diba? Kung ano-ano mang paghuhusga ang umaano sa ating pag-iisip. Kung strong ang conscience mo, you're tempted to condemn ang weaker conscience. You're tempted to think of them as compromisers, faithless, legalistic, and immature. You are tempted to despise them, maring hindi sa labi kung hindi sa puso. At kung ikaw naman ay may weaker conscience, you are tempted to judge them, look down on them, tingin mo sa kanila ay nagko-compromise sa kanilang pananampalataya. So anong solusyon ni Paul? Ang may mga mas stronger na consciences shouldn't despise those with stricter consciences. At ang mga may stricter consciences naman should not judge those with weaker consciences. Simple lang ang sinabi ni Paul. Kung titingnan niyo yung buong chapter 14, yun ang sinasabi niya. In short, sinasabi niya, i-welcome lang ang disagreements at huwag makipag-away o mag-cause ng division or disunity, lalo na kung nasa tertiary issue, nasa third level issue. Nung binanggit ni Paul na welcome, he means quite literally welcome them at the table. Kasi ang church madalas mag-fellowship meal, kagaya ng nabanggit natin, at marahil kasama dito yung Lord's Supper. So he wants the strong to welcome or receive the weak. Welcome is a term that is used as if to receive them into your home. Welcome or receive them into your home as brothers and sisters. Maaring ang tanong mo, maaring nandito ngayong oras na to is this. Pastor, alin ba ako dito sa dalawa? Ako ba si strong Or ako ba si weak conscience? Probably habang sinasabi ko na yan, gine-gauge mo na ang sarili mo. O maray, may even worse, you're gauging someone else. Ah, oo, tama, si ano, ganyan yan eh. Strong yan. Oh, si ano, weak yan eh. Teka muna. Tingin muna tayo sa sarili natin. Okay? So, ang sagot mo dyan, hindi ko alam. Maaring parehas. Kasi depende kung anong issue. You might have a strong conscience on some issues or weak on others. So this is a good time to self-evaluate on tertiary issues, matters, tertiary doctrines or issues. So friends, if you find yourself disagreeing sa ating mga kapatiran dito sa Crossroads, ang unang itanong natin sa sarili natin, anong kategory ng disagreement ba kami nandito ngayon? Kasi baka naman in-escalate nyo na ang argument, ang issue, ginagawa mo siyang primary or first level issue, pero talaga dyan is nasa third level lang siya dapat in treatment. To the point na kung saan hindi na kayo nag-uusap, to the point na dahil nandyan siya, atin ka ng church, hindi ako atin ng church. Dahil dyan, lumipat ka na ibang grupo or even left the church or planning to leave the church because of tertiary issues. Friends, don't be judgmental towards others who either have more or less strictness than you. According nga kay D.A. Carson, as a general rule, be strict with yourself and generous with others. Let us keep disputable matters as third level. Huwag mo nang i-escalate sa second. Huwag mo nang i-escalate sa first. Wag mo na itabi yan sa Trinity at saka deity ni Christ, no? Yung mismong pagkain mo ng gulay o hindi. Okay? Pray for God's wisdom to discern the difference between weak, wavering believers and controlling Christians who wants to force yung view on us, and pray that we know how to serve them. And remind them of the truth of the gospel. Number two, let God be the judge. Let God be the judge. Ito ang nilalaman ng verses 5 hanggang 12. Paul continues to address those na ang mga consciences ay bound sa Mosaic law and exhorts them not to judge those whose consciences are not. At nagbigay siya ng tatlong dahilan not to judge sa text na ito. Three reason not to judge ang kapatiran na magkaiba ang view sa iyo. First of all, number one, both desire to honor the Lord. Verses 5 hanggang 6 yun. Both desire to honor the Lord. Makikita niyo po yan dyan sa 5 and 6, verses 5 to 6. Pansin niyo ba na napaka-patient, sympathetic, and respectful ni Paul sa pag-address ng issue sa dalawang panig na ito? Dahil Paul desires to build unity that is stronger than arguments. He is saying both the weak and the strong give God glory in the way their conscience insists they must serve the Lord. Kaya hindi ho dapat mag-judge. Kaya po ako nagbibihis ang ganito, kaya ako kumakain ng ganito, kaya ako uminom dahil gusto ko bigyan ng kaluwalhatian ng Panginoon. Kaya hindi ako nagbibihis ng ganito, hindi ako kumakain ng ganito, hindi ako umiinom ng ganito kasi gusto ko bigyan ng kapapurihan ng Diyos. So both have a desire to honor and praise God. Why? Kasi at tingin ni Paul, hindi naman siya sa primary at secondary issue eh. Tertiary siya eh. Third level issue. He's saying both the weak and the strong give glory to God in the way their conscience tells them. There are those who judge others' view na to the point na ang tawag na nila doon ay hindi Kristiyano. Bakit ganyan ang paniniwala nila? Sige, hindi ang Christian. Siguradong hindi Christian yan. There was one time I heard a conversation from friends dahil nakikinig itong isang kaibigan namin to a particular Christian music group. At dahil doon, yung mga kasama namin sinasabi na, pag napatuloy ka makikinig dyan, hindi ka talaga tunay na Kristiyano. Teka muna. Bigat naman nun. Or some would even go as far as saying, kapag hindi mo binoto itong kandidatong ito, you're not a Christian if you do not vote for this person. Mainit po yan sa Pilipinas. Pero hindi ba nasa tertiary area lang siya? Sometimes people lose, break fellowship over that. Yung iba, umalis ng church. Bear in mind that both strong and weak desires to honor the Lord sa kanilang ginagawa at di ginagawa. So kung may kapatiran po tayo na hindi kaparehas ng ating views on tertiary issues, extend grace. Second, bakit di tayo mag-judge? Kasi both serve the same master. Hindi lamang hangarin nila to worship God, but they both serve one God. You see that in verse 7 to 9. Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito, God is the creator ng lahat, kaya siya ang may nagmamay-ari at master lahat ng mga tao. And since we were made by God, we are made for God. Siya ang ating master, ang ruler ng ating buhay. Siya ang may-ari sa atin. We were made to live for Him. Pero, here's the problem with us. We all rejected God's lordship. At ginagawa natin, sarili natin, mga lords sa ating buhay. We are the people who always na gustong masunod. It's going to be me, me, and me. I'm the Lord, I'm the Master, ako masusunod. And because of that, that's idolatry sa harapan ng Diyos. And we deserve to be judged and to be rejected by God for eternity. But God did not treat us as our sins deserved. In His mercy and grace, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the world in order to live for us and to die for us. Christ's sacrificial death on the cross has fully paid for all of our sins and has defeated death, sin, and Satan. His resurrection from the grave proves that God accepted His sacrifice and now seated at the right hand of the Father, reigning with God, interceding for us. And God calls everyone to turn away from their sins. Stop being the Lord. Stop being the masters of your lives. And trust in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation, for forgiveness. Kung hindi mo pa nagagawa ito, mga kaibigan, I urge you to repent from your sins and put your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. At sa ating mga mananampalatayanan dito, lahat ng ating ginagawa ay ginagawa natin ay para sa mabigyan ng kapapurihan ang Panginoon. To give God glory. We rely on Him. We submit to Him and entrust everything, including our very lives, to Him daily. None of us lives to Himself because we live now for Christ. He lives in us. We live for Him. None of us dies to Himself because we have already died in Christ. At isang araw, kapag orasan natin, death will bring us home to Christ. So, how does the good news, this gospel, motivate us not to judge? Brothers and sisters, who kung saan nag-disagree sa atin in third level issues. One, remember, they're doing it to honor the Lord. Second, remember they belong to Jesus and are serving Him, katulad ninyo. Third, both will stand before God to give an account. Makikita niyan sa verse 12. We should not judge ang ating mga kapatid sa Panginoon because all of us will soon give an account to the one true judge, God Himself. Lahat ay haharap sa judgment seat of God and we will give an account sa lahat ng mga naisip, sinabi, ginawa at hindi ginawa sa harapan niya habang nandito tayo sa mundo na to. Each of us will give account to God. Now, ang judgment dito ay hindi nangangahulugan na ikaw ay mawawala ang iyong kaligtasan kapag meron kang hindi nasunod o hindi nagawa. Nakaaya-aya sa harapan ng Diyos, lalo na kung ikaw ay sinumampalataya na kay Kristo bilang Diyos at tagapagligtas. If God declared you righteous ngayon through Christ, He will also declare you righteous then sa judgment day. And this is a great comfort sa ating mga mananampalataya. Ang accounting na nabanggit po dito is God will evaluate ang bawat isa sa atin and He will reward us kung papaano tayo namuhay dito sa mundo na ito. There are degrees of rewards sa heaven sa kung papaano tayo namumuhay dito sa earth. So yes, there God will reward His people kung paano tayo namuhay. That's why we long to hear God tell us, well done, good and faithful servant. So we long for that heavenly treasure. Of course, that heavenly treasure is Christ Himself, but God will also bless us on how we live today to that final day. So kapag sinabi ni Paul, don't judge, ang sinasabi niya sa mga kapatiran, don't condemn your brother or sister. Don't condemn them dahil lamang sa mga disagreement nyo sa second and third level issues. Don't render a verdict on them in your heart or with your mouth. Kasi if you do, parang sinasabi mo na hindi siya kapatiran. Kapag hindi mo siya pinapansin, pag hindi mo siya kinakausap, you're saying na you're not welcome sa aking life. Para mo siyang in-excommunicate sa puso mo. Excommunicating someone is the church's responsibility as a whole. Kung ang isang kapatiran ay hindi namumuhay at nagpapatuloy sa unrepentant sin. So it is not your job to excommunicate a brother or sister. That's the church's job. Pero hindi natin responsibilidad ito. Mga kaibigan, meron bang pinaalala sa iyong tao ang Panginoon ngayong oras na ito that you have somehow judged or condemned because they disagree with you or dahil lang naging mainit yung inyong debate? Have you condemned them? Have you judged them? Friends, I urge you to repent. Make it right with God. Make it right with this person. Third, resolve not to lead others to sin. Resolve not to lead others to sin. We see this in verses 13 hanggang 23. Bagamat Paul encouraged the strong in the faith to not judge ang mga kapatiran na ayaw kumain ng karne, sa verses na ito, he still gives his position sa issue. It's interesting, sinabi ni Paul na kung saan, okay, dapat hindi kayo nagja-judge, hindi kayo nagde-despise about isa. We are now living in accordance sa Panginoon Hesus Kristo. Gospel dapat ang aming mentality. Pero dito sa verses na to, he still gave his view. Regardless na sinasabi niya, okay lang yan o hindi okay yan. So Paul, ano ba ang view ni Paul pagdating dito sa pagkain ng karne at pangapagatin ng mga pagpili ng holy day? Paul is convinced na ang Mosaic laws are no longer binding. Yun yung point niya. However, ang view niya sa kosher eating at Sabbath keeping as neither prohibited or required. Yun ang view niya. It's not prohibited, hindi pinagbabawal, hindi rin required. Hindi pinagbabawal o hindi kinakailangan. Both are permitted but are not necessary. Hindi ganong kahalaga. Alam nyo, itong issue sa Romans 14, ang isa sa pinakamahabang issues na Paul address bukod sa spiritual gifts sa 1 Corinthians 12. Pero pansinin po natin mabuti on how Paul articulates his position. Makikita po natin, hindi nyo makikita na he is trying to persuade, he's trying to coerce, he's trying to manipulate anyone sa kanyang view. Mapapansin sa chapter 14 and 15. Why? Kasi nasa third level issue eh. Kasi hindi niya priority ang sabihin kung sino tama at mali sa kanila sa issue na ito or kung siya ang tamang view. What he is concerned about is yung unity ng church. Unity despite of its differing positions on tertiary issues. Mas concerned ni Paul dito yung issue, hindi yung tama at unity, hindi yung issue ng tama at mali. Sino ba rito ang tama? Sino ba ang mali? He's basically modeling how not to be a stumbling block sa kapatiran. Ano ba ang ibig sabihin ng stumbling block? Growing up, as a young Christian, lagi ko naririnig yan. Uy, nakakastumble ka. Uy, nakakastumble ka. O kaya sa Tagalog, itinawag is, nakakatisod ka. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng stumbling block? Now, this is more than just na-offend ka. Okay? This is more than just nasaktan ng iyong damdamin. May sinabi siya sa akin, Pastor, na-stumble ako. It hurts. It hurts. Na-stumble ako. It's more than that. It's an imagery used by Paul to mean something that causes someone to trip or fall. Yun yung imagery. According kay Douglas Moo, which I love how he describes, ang ibig sabihin daw ng stumble, stumbling block, spiritual downfall. Spiritual downfall. Ang pagiging stumbling block sa iba is living or speaking in such a way as to influence or force someone to act against their own conscience. In short, ang pag-exercise ng liberty ng strong might pressure the weak to do something that their conscience is telling them not to do. Remember, sa sinabi ni Paul sa verse 14, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Why? Because we believe, kaya pinahawakan natin, kaya pinakikinggan natin ating conscience, we believe that we're doing something na kaaya-aya sa Panginoon. Or we're not doing something na kaaya-aya sa harapan ng Panginoon. So we listen to our conscience. But if we force a brother or sister in the way we live, or the way we manipulate or win the arguments, we are wounding their conscience. At ang masakit po dito, if pumayag na lang sila and they're sinning against their conscience. When I was a young Christian, I had a dialogue sa isang kaibigan ko na Christian na masasabi ko mas matanda siya in age, mas matanda siya sa pananampalataya. During that time, kakaalis ko lang po sa lifestyle ng inuman at partying. And I'm not proud of it. I was hooked to alcohol before. And vices gaya ng sigarilyo. Try drugs. These things, I praise God na He has redeemed me and saved me from these. Then napunta ang conversation namin. And this is me, the young Christian me, napunta yung conversation namin na kung saan ang pinag-usapan ay alak, alcohol. Which my friend gave a strong argument na wala daw sa Bible na kalagay ang bawal uminom. Which is totoo naman daw. Which is totoo naman. Ang bawal ay magpakalasing. So he was telling that to me. A guy who just turned his back from alcoholism. Kakaligtas lang. So I tried to argue back na kahit tikim hindi dapat. Dapat hindi ka umiinom na kahit tikim. And I was arguing with by my experience. And he was trying to argue with me theologically. And I feel that I was losing the argument. So I tried to argue and he argued back hard. And yung time na yun, napilitan ako uminom. And it did not turn well sa akin afternoon. I was forced to sin against my conscience. I ended up drinking more frequently. I caused other Christians to stumble, pushing that argument or conviction sa kanila rin. I repented, asked forgiveness sa Panginoon, and I hope that I've been growing in this area. Now, just to make it clear, hindi na ako kuminom ng alak na kagaya ng lasingan ng panahon namin. Mga kapatid, be careful in exercising your freedom. Sometimes the most loving thing to do is to limit our freedom in order to not to cause a brother or sister to a spiritual downfall. It's causing them to sin. Mga kapatid, ikaw ba ay nape-pressure gawin ang isang bagay na your conscience tells you huwag gawin dahil lang ginagawa ito karamihan ng mga kapatiran? If you do, ang integrity ng iyong faith can be damaged. At kapag naging practice mo na ang i-violate ang iyong conscience, it will be hardened. Your conscience will be hardened, it will be seared, and it will be dissolved, and whatever your faith that you have left sa sarili mo, you will continue to violate. You're teaching your conscience to disobey God every time you violate your conscience. Of course, maybe some of you are just hearing this for the first time. You should listen to the first sermon because we mentioned that our conscience should be calibrated, it should be cleansed, it should be cleaned through Christ, by reading God's Word, by being with God's people, receiving counsel. That's how we calibrate yung conscience natin. But again, this is a gift na galing sa Panginoon that we should listen. If we continue not to listen sa ating conscience, believing na ito'y galing sa Panginoon, then we are hardening our hearts sa Panginoon. Especially sa mga future decision-making na gagawin natin. Romans 14, 16 hanggang 17. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito na mas mahalaga ang perseverance ng kapatiran kesa sa freedom nilang kumain o hindi kumain ng karne. Perseverance. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, are there certain freedoms that you exercise that you need to give up in order to help a weaker brother or sister persevere in the faith? Mga certain actions, habits, activities, certain lifestyles that we need to rethink for the sake ng spiritual good ng ating kapatiran. Ay, pastor, hindi ko na problema yun. Abay, siya na ang mahala sa buhay niya. But that's sa akin siya umaasa. It's because, kapatid, nung niligtas ka ng Panginoon, when God reconciled you to Himself through Jesus Christ, He reconciled you to one another. He reconciled us. Which means, you're living for the glory of God and you're living for the good of the brothers and sisters. For His glory. Yun yung sinasabi niya rito. So, be thoughtful on how we would live for the sake of the weaker brother and sister in Christ. Anglican pastor Vaughn Roberts asked three questions to think about before you exercise yung freedom. And these are his additional comments of 1 Corinthians 8 at 10, which is yung part of it binasa ni nating kapatiran kanina ni Kuya Tom. Now, here are three questions before you exercise freedom. And I want you to listen, okay? I'll go slow. First question, what is the effect, yung gagawin mong yan, as you exercise freedom, what is the effect on other Christians? What is the effect on other Christians? And he adds, love is more important than knowledge. Love is more important than knowledge. Second question, what is the effect on non-Christians sa freedom na gagawin mong yan? The gospel is more important than rights. The gospel is more important than rights. And third question, what is the effect on my spiritual life if I exercise this freedom? Spiritual health is more important than freedom. What is the effect on other Christians? What is the effect on non-Christians? What is the effect on our spiritual life? Think about these things before we exercise our freedom. So verses 19 to 23, binalikan ni Paul ang danger of acting in a way that encourages ang ibang mga kapatiran to go against their conscience. We should be more concerned, Crossroads, about our unity as a church kesa yung masunod yung gusto natin o masunod yung gusto nating gawin, or even mas gugustuhin natin ang unity rather than winning arguments sa bawat isa. It means caring more about someone's holiness than your freedom. A few more applications that I'd like to throw in out there. Una, ang local church or mga pastors, and listen to this, should never, local church, church leaders, pastors should never require ang mga members to do something that the Bible does not require. If you hear us give counsel, something that goes against God's word, rebuke us. That's the loving way to deal with this. Be careful sa mga pastors who wrongly impose unbiblical rules sa churches. They require members to do something that the Bible does not require. And that's why we urge you, you have to know your Bibles. Ask questions. Dito nagsisimula ang mga unbiblical and unhealthy practices sa loob ng church. Sa loob ng worship services ginagawa, sa mga ministries na dinadagdag. This is where unhealthy culture starts. Kapag may sinabi si pastor na gawin ang isang bagay at hindi naman yun ang sinasabi ng Bible, or worse, wala sa Bible, and then the members follow it, now nagkakaroon po ng culture na unhealthy and unbiblical. Churches and pastors should protect their members' consciences by requiring only what God commands and leaving room for different convictions and practices na kung saan God does not give us a black and white na command. Sa Crossroads, we follow ang tinatawag na regulative principle of worship. Ibig sabihin, sa ating corporate gatherings, we should only practice ang mga elements of worship that are either explicitly commanded by Scripture or modeled by scriptural practice. That's why we try to pray, preach, sing, and see the gospel through the ordinances. That's why mamaya after this sermon, meron tayong communion, which is one of the ordinances of the church. Kaya pag-pray ninyo kami mga pastor, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, pray that we would not require anything from you that are unbiblical or wala sa sinasabi sa Bible. Now, may mga ilang bagay na hindi explicitly pinagbabawal ng Bible, pero mukhang unwise. Paano yung pastor? Wala naman sinasabi ang Bible sa plano kong gawin. So, anong gagawin ko? Pero maybe you need to ask a pastor, one of the elders or members who are mature. Kasi maaaring wala siyang restrictions or prohibitions sa Bible, pero it's unwise. It's dumb. It's dangerous yung gagawin mo. So ask counsel. This might be a war. Your conscience might be warning you. Pagdating naman sa individual counseling, aside sa dapat biblically sound ng ating ipapayo, we should also be discerning kung ito ba ay permitted or prohibited sa Bible. Kasi hindi lahat black and white. Hindi pwede dapat sa counseling natin, we sound like dapat ganito. Imperative lagi. Command. We need to, one, listen, sympathize, think biblically, think of the gospel. Kasi hindi lahat is black and white sa Bible. Hindi lahat. And be slow to give stories. Kasi may kilala nga ako, ganito ginawa eh. Kaya dapat yan din ang gawin mo. Yun ang basis mo ng counseling. Be careful. We are people of the word. We counsel sa salita ng Diyos. We cannot tell you na huwag gawin unless malinaw ito sa Bible. Except yung 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Or 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Flee from idolatry. Hindi disputable matters po ito. We cannot disagree sa mga commands na ito. Now, sa case of joining and staying sa isang local church, if you think the teaching and practices ng church is what you see ay unbiblical, huwag natin i-pursue yung church na ito. Leave the church. Now, in the case that the church is biblical in teaching and in practice, pero hindi mo type yung music, or hindi mo type yung order ng service, maybe you need to calibrate your conscience. Talk to that pastor na hindi mo type yung music. Kasi it's probably purposeful. Number four and last. Welcome one another as Christ welcomed us. chapter 15, 1 to 7, Paul summarizes ang kanyang point sa buong chapter 14 and 15 na pinag-usapan natin. Let me give four challenges and I will end here. Number one, prioritize loving others. Kapag may mga disputes, disagreements, prioritize loving others. In tertiary areas, sa mga kapatiran, again, I'm framing it, I'm not being general. Paul is not saying maging people pleasers tayo. Ang challenge is to become a God pleaser rather than a people pleaser. It's not gagawin ko lang ang gusto ko, hindi rin gagawin ko lang ang gusto mo, kung hindi gagawin ko kung anong gusto ng Panginoon, kung ano ang magbibigay ng glory sa Panginoon. At gagawin ko what will bring others to be influenced by the gospel. What will cultivate unity sa church. Yun yung mga gagawin natin. Second, rely on the power of God. Ang power ng unity ng church ay galing sa Diyos. It can only be sustained ng Diyos. Ito'y supernatural. It was purchased by the blood of Christ. This kind of unity supersedes all sorts of differences. So pray for the unity of Crossroads. Rely on the power of God. Third, worship God with the saints. Worship God with the saints. The church's unity, ay ang primary goal ni Paul. Yun ang primary goal ni Paul throughout 14 hanggang 15. Pero, ang kanyang ultimate goal ay unified worship. Unified worship. Paul's desire is to gather a unified church despite of its diversity and differences so that we can offer unified praise to the Lord. Yun ang goal ng unity, unified worship. Church unity exists for unified in displaying God's glory to the world. Kapag hindi tayo ganong ka-unified sa church, the harder it is for us to offer a unified worship. The more our lives are in harmony, the more authentic and sincere our harmony will be when we corporately sing and praise the Lord sa church. Fourth, and last, welcome one another as Christ welcomed us. Ginawa ni Paul, bookend ito sa first part ng chapter 4 at sa verse 7 and chapter 14 and verse 7 of chapter 15, yung word na welcome. Pero sa verse 7, sa verse 4, chapter 4, sabi niya, welcome them or him. Pagdating naman sa verse 7, welcome us just as Christ welcomed you. This doesn't mean grudgingly tolerate one another, but welcome one another. Kung papaano tayo tinrato ni Kristo, dapat ganun din tayo sa mga hindi nating kaparehas ng convictions. At paano tayo tinatrato ng Panginoon? Well, if Christ bore our sins on that tree, we should lovingly bear with each other kahit magkaiba tayo ng conscience or in certain things. Christ gave himself up to serve you. We should never stop serving one another despite differences. Christ endured the cross for our sins. We should endure through our disagreements. Ang parawan upang lumago tayo sa ating pag-ibig at paglilingkod sa ating mga kapatiran dito sa Crossroads is to remember the gospel. To remember what Christ has done for us to serve us. Brothers and sisters, welcome one another as Christ welcomed us. Despite differing consciences, for this gives God the glory. Let's pray. Salamat, Diyos Ama, for welcoming us through your Son, Jesus. May we welcome one another dito sa Crossroads as family members, for we are family members because of Christ. As we remember what you have done for us, may we never cease to give you honor, thanksgiving, and praise. Gaya ng pagpapaalala namin sa sarili namin corporately sa communion ngayong oras na to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.